welcome to Show Me Mike, the podcast that talks to other podcasters about the podcasts. I'm your host, Chris Enns, back again this week for another episode. This time I'm joined by Paddy Donnelly. He's the co-host of Working Out, a podcast about working out the balance between life, business, side job, passions, turning those into businesses, that kind of stuff. We have a great chat about podcasts in general, the gear he uses, all that kind of stuff, you know, the usual stuff. And he turns the mic back on me, so to speak, as well at the end with some questions about balancing all the shows we do here. I want to thank Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode. More about them later in the show. For now, enjoy our discussion, as I'm sure you will. Thanks again for listening. Welcome, Paddy, to Show Me Your Mic. Gotta combine your last
name. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And you are the host, co-host, I guess, of the Working Out podcast, which I was disappointed to find out is not about working out.
It is not. Physical exercise. However, we have a lot of, our Twitter account has a lot of like fitness accounts that follow us. So, but yeah, I'm the co-host of Working Out, yeah, together with Ashley Baxter.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, especially for my ears over here, hearing no accents, or what I feel like is no accents in Canada anyways, where I live. It's a wonderful podcast to have a Scottish and an Irish accent together on a single show. So
sometimes that's, like we get some, you know, tweets about the show, and sometimes that's all people say, like, oh, this is a great podcast if you like accents. Right. And then no mention about the content, you know, content or anything. So right. Yeah, at least we've got that. We've got the accents going for us.
Yeah. Yeah. You just need to shout back. I'm more than my accents. It's not me.
We could just read the dictionary or something, I think.
Exactly. You know what? There's probably, I bet there's a market for that even, sadly, or not, I guess, depending on how you look at it. So you're 22 episodes in, I see, as of this recording anyways. You just released one October 1st. Just take me back to the beginning of the show and sort of what prompted you to start. Is this your first foray into podcasting, or what was your
sort this of is I've done a little bit before, just kind of for fun stuff, but this is, I guess, our first serious, or my first anyway, serious foray into podcasting. Ashley and myself talked on and off earlier in the year about different projects. We've worked sometimes together, and we would chat about, well, basically, you know, chat about how we think the industry, that like the web design industry or just design industry and just various other things. We would just kind of just chat over Skype about how things were going and give each other tips and advice and discuss various things. So after a while, Ashley had the idea to start a podcast, or she mentioned that. And then she wanted to start a podcast, just kind of exploring some of these ideas of making a passion-based business for yourself. And after a while, she asked me if I wanted to co-host it with her. I mean, we have different backgrounds and we have different interests. So we get a nice mix of conversation on there. But essentially, Working Out is a podcast. It's about the journey towards doing what you love for a living. So asking the question, is it possible to make a living from your hobby? So that was our that's how we started it. And Ashley and myself, we're both trying to make a business, make businesses for ourselves around our passions. So we take a topic each week and focused around that and talk about, you know, what challenges we've encountered and, you know, where we are in the journey. Because I think that's one of the aspects that we liked about making a podcast, and why we called it Working Out, is that we don't have all the answers. Neither of us have 100% achieved our goal of doing what we love every day. So we're not there yet, but we don't have a show that's, you know, this is how we did it and follow these steps and you can do it too. That's not the type of show we have. It's more kind of discussing where we are right now in the middle of the journey and how we're dealing with challenges that come up every day. And I find it much more interesting to listen to people who are struggling through stuff or struggling through the same problems that that I have. And that was a big motivating factor for us to make the show. So everyone's always kind of in the middle of their journey. So we wanted to just kickstart discussions around that and kind of make a connection with other people who are, you know, sitting at the moment thinking I'm not really happy in my job and I kind of want to do something that I'm passionate about every day. And so that's kind of who we're catering for, is other people, mostly, I guess, freelancers who are thinking about trying to move into a job, yeah, doing what they love. And we just talk about our problems that we've encountered and how we're trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. And that's interesting, because there is a lot of, I mean, you can look in iTunes or whatever podcast listening service, and there's a glut almost of podcasts about here's how to do X, Y, or Z, and, you know, whether it's woodworking or running a business or mm-hmm. any sort of marketing thing or whatever. There's tons of those, and the journey, I think, like you said, is definitely as interesting, if not more so, for a lot of folks. Especially, I'm with you, like, in trying to grow mm-hmm. something and build something, and then definitely have not arrived in any shape or form.
And that's we've had a lot of positive feedback from people who are, you know, simply saying that, wow, I didn't know other people were thinking this same stuff, or other people. It's good to know that other people have this same issue. It's not even that we're solving the issue or whatever, but it's, you know, people listen to the show and go, oh yeah, I have the same issue, and it's good to know that other people are struggling through it as well. And we give our advice on how we're trying to deal with it, or, you know, I give Ashley advice, or she gives me advice based on our different points of views. And it's, yeah, I think a lot of people just enjoy the fact that, you know, it's not that everybody struggles with these and everybody is making it up as they go along, you know?
Yeah. So just for context, I guess, for folks, what are both of your, I know we tried to get Ashley on, I'll have to have Ashley on another time to talk about her perspective, I guess, working with you and podcasting.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to get any other point of view as well.
But what are your I guess, your, like you said, your passion business that you're trying to grow respectively?
Well, it's so my passion is in illustration and iPhone app design, and in particular, I have a side business called WeTaps that together with another guy we make iPhone apps for kids, and so that's what I'm really passionate about. And I mean, in my daily freelance work, I do illustration and iOS design and web design. And Ashley comes from Ashley's passion is in photography and insurance. She's got a nice mix of
that's what I was. I'm familiar with her from other stuff. We've talked with her about podcasting and stuff before. All right, like good stuff here, anyways. And just mm-hmm. it's an interesting mix. So it's not a, you know, insurance and photography aren't the two that you sort of think of, I guess, initially. But
yeah, she's got a nice that helps kind of a lot of our discussions, because she usually has a couple of different approaches to a topic based on, you know, one is in the insurance industry. If she takes the insurance industry as her example when we're talking about a topic, then it's vastly different from you know, insurance industry is a kind of dinosaur of an industry that's really slow moving. And Ashley wants to, well, part of her goal is to create an insurance business that's much easier for people to understand and to set up an insurance business for you know, smaller design firms or freelancers, and make it a simpler, kind of straightforward insurance business. And that's what she wants to transform over there. But then she also has her photography, usually you know, wedding photography. So she's shooting weddings, and that has a totally different she has a totally different take on things when we're talking about things like pricing and stuff like that. So that's our both of our backgrounds. But it's how we started off the podcast is we discussed, you know, what exactly our goals were. So in the first couple of episodes, you know, we asked, what do we want to do as our passion-based businesses? And initially for me, it was to cut out client work altogether and just focus on my own products, and, you know, making the kid apps and the kids apps and focusing on that rather than working for clients. And so I'm sort of in the middle of that transition. However, in one of the later episodes, we did the five whys technique. I don't know if you Familiar with that? So we did the, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a kind of, yeah, it's a technique to explore the kind of cause and effect relationship. So it helps you get to the bottom of why you're doing something. So you start with, we started with our goals, and mine was, yeah, cut out client work. And then we asked ourselves why five times, and you say, you know, why am I wanting to cut out client work? And it's, you know, why? Because I want to have more control over something, and why? And eventually I got down to, at the end of the five whys, I discovered that it really wasn't that I just wanted to cut out client work and do my own stuff, but it was just more, I want to move more. I want to move towards having a body of work that I'm really proud of at the end of the day. So I want to eventually look back on a portfolio of work that people find interesting, and the people use my products and enjoy them, and that I'm proud of them. So that kind of changed my goal from just cut out client work to be more like create a body of work that I'm proud of. So that my goal kind of changed. Now, yeah, cutting out client work and doing more of my own projects is part of that, but it doesn't have to mean that I need to do 100% my own products to succeed in that. So that type of exploration going from the outset, I thought my goal was to move away from client work and just do my own product. But after a few episodes and discussions, that sort of changed. And so that's why the title Working Out fits really well, I think, because we kind of, a lot of stuff changes as we just discuss various issues, and our perceptions of what it is we're trying to actually do changes a lot. And so our whole kind of philosophy behind the show, I think, is really just talking about stuff and trying to figure it out, and yeah, make it up as you go along, and just kind of that. So that's why I think the title really works quite well.
Yeah. Yeah. Despite your SEO, yeah. struggles or whatever you want to say, certainly. And that's, I think, something you hit on there that I feel like is maybe a hidden value for podcasters that maybe they don't realize until down the road quite a ways, is, and something I know with other shows I do, the Intellectual Radio Program with Tim Smith and Adam Clark here on Good Stuff, that it's almost, in a sense, as much as you're doing things for other people, like, it's interesting to listen, and other people get to hear that other people are having struggles with the same things they are, all that kind of stuff, and maybe pick up some tips. But in as much as that, it's also like just the personal therapy that you get.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just from you and Ashley, in your case, talking through this stuff. And you kind of, you might do it, like you said, you did it before you podcasted, and you know, you occasionally do it, but there's something that kind of helps flesh it out a bit more seriously. You're actually, you know, on a schedule because you want to release the episode, et cetera. And so, yeah.
I definitely think it's, therapy is a really good word, good word for it, because, yeah, especially when it comes to my work. So now I've been freelancing for the past 2.5 years. So I work from home. So I'm alone all day, and then I don't have an office environment anymore. So I don't have, you know, that discussion time with colleagues. And so I've definitely found, since starting the podcast, I'm able to process ideas a lot easier, and have. By discussing things and even just saying things out loud, you know, once you start talking about something, then it's real, and then you can get a different point of view on it than if you just keep stuff rattling around in your head, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And often those great ideas that you have in your head, that once you release them, or at least say them out loud to somebody, then it kind of helps realize maybe that wasn't the best.
Yeah.
or they give you another perspective, obviously, on it and things like that. That certainly helps. So, anything as far as I'm just thinking, you mentioned, you know, getting feedback and stuff. Is the primary method or vehicle that you use for feedback from listeners the, like, sort of social media, Twitter, that kind of thing? Or is there other avenues that people connect with the show?
Yeah, I think mostly on Twitter. We've had some really nice emails as well from people saying, you know, that we're talking about stuff that they've been thinking about for such a long time, and just, yeah, thanking us for the show. Or sometimes we get like big long emails from people which is great, that, you know, long emails from people discussing further other points we've brought up on the show, and yeah, we get a lot of nice tweets and stuff with from people as well. So it's great having it's something I'd like to do a bit more as well, is have more of more discussion around it. So maybe some sort of moving towards a, you know, chat room kind of stuff, or that sort of thing would be an idea.
Right. Yeah, it's tough. I know in podcasts, it's tough to, there's the whole, you know, do we have comments on our posts and that debate and all that kind of stuff. And it is it's an interesting medium to try and generate community around, because I think people often sort of listen passively and don't think about engaging, sending in questions or whatever, that kind of stuff. And it's an interesting challenge anyways. I would assume, because like where you guys are based and just familiarity with, you know, in Europe and things like that, but you have a fairly worldwide audience, I would guess, as far as people tuning into this kind of discussion, because it's not that you're specifically talking about, you know, in your case, Belgium rules and laws of starting a business per se. It's more just the theory and the daily struggles.
Yeah, it's very broad strokes kind of thinking about moving towards a passion-based business. So it's not anything specific to operating a Belgian-based business or anything. And but we've got listeners from all over that we've been contacted by people from the States and all over Europe and Singapore and everywhere. So it's definitely the idea of creating a passion-based business, or making a living out of your passion, doing what you love every day. I think that's a kind of universal thing that everybody would love to have. And so we resonate a lot with people, especially freelancers seem to have this idea that they definitely have the idea they want to escape from being trapped in a situation where they're not enjoying what they're doing, and everybody has goals for what they want to do, and everybody has ideas of, and well, that's actually something we talked about. Of, well, we're in the belief that you can make a business out of any passion. So no matter what obscure niche you have, or that you're passionate about, you can definitely find someone who will pay for it. So that was also one of the discussions we've had on the show about, you know, finding the what in doing what you love. So even if you think, yeah, I'm really passionate about, I can't even think, bonsai trees or something. Even if you're really passionate about some obscure thing and you think, nobody would be interested in buying that product, whatever it may be, you can monetize anything. So that's another topic we talk about. So about, yeah, just, you have to actually give something a go and work on something. And anything is possible to when it comes to a passion-based business. So that's also something we talk about as well. And we've got a variety of things we've talked about in the past, like we've talked about stuff like quitting your job and how you can transition from like being a full-time employee to setting up your own business and working for yourself every day. And one episode recently that was pretty well received was the idea of what if I'm not good enough? So yeah, if you're really passionate about something, but what if I'm just not good enough at that passion, at that task, whatever it is, to, you know, it was about building confidence in your abilities and different techniques you can use to do that. And yeah, we talked about various things like creative block and following through with things and shipping products and pricing. So all stuff that Ashley and myself have struggled with in our journeys towards setting up our businesses. So, and it's great to have both her view and my view on different things, because they're not always the same. And so we get some interesting discussions going.
Yeah, and well, you have different experiences, different things that you've encountered too. And I think the struggle too of, like you said, alluded to earlier, with the internet being what it is, and you can sort of, anything is possible, and there's probably somebody interested in something out there that as well that you're interested in, whatever. That's the beauty of the internet. But also just the looking at someone who appears to be have made it, let's say, and so, like, you know, there's different metrics that people might use, like, oh, you have, like in your case, you have 10,000 Twitter followers. Well, surely he'll just tweet out a link to a product and he's got $1,000 in his account right away because he has, you know, or whatever, like different weird mm-hmm. metrics that we kind of judge other people by based on, you know, popularity or perceived popularity or whatever. And so I think part of what the appeal of your podcast, like you said, mentioned earlier, is there's that idea that we're in this midst of this, where this is still a struggle. It's not like we've arrived. There's no instant mm-hmm. success. Just because of past successes doesn't guarantee future successes. There's some saying in there that I'm forgetting, but but yeah. And to make a kind of a cheesy segue here, I'm going to just briefly mention our sponsor, but you mentioned just the global audience thing. And that's something that's at Good Stuff. We use Campaign Monitor to send out our newsletters, and they're a sponsor or founding sponsor of Good Stuff. And one of the awesome things that I've realized through doing the shows that we do, when I put together the newsletter for Good Stuff and sending it out using Campaign Monitors, they have a visual map view of where your email is going and when. So you send it out and you can see it actually on like sort of a Google Maps type look of it being opened up by different people all over the world. And just kind of gives an amazing, interesting, humbling kind of view of like, these are actually like, it's one thing to look at stats and see numbers, but to see like, you know, a little pop up in the UK or wherever it happens to be that someone opens this email, Australia, et cetera, all around the world. And it kind of gives a real human face or I guess not literal face. It's not quite that quite that specific yet, but just puts a place and a person behind the numbers that are listening out there. And that's one of the things we really appreciate about Campaign Monitor. And in addition to their beautiful templates, and canvas.cm is their template builder that we use. I've joked on other shows that I'm doing the exact wrong thing as far as branding and stuff and changing our template pretty much every time just to experiment with their template builder, just to show how easy it is to use. Cause I'm a hack, going back to being confident in things. I'm dangerous, I guess. I know enough to be dangerous with design. And so having something like canvas.cm to use with Campaign Monitor really helps a hack like me out. And it's great, easy to use. So visit campaignmonitor.com and get started today with your newsletter. And thanks to them for sponsoring Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. I want to touch on the actual sort of technical, I guess, of how you record, and just curious what methods you guys have stumbled upon and things like that as far as mics and gear and software and stuff, just to mm-hmm. get a little bit technical. But so starting sort of from in the sense of the name of the show, from the mic down, what are you using to record yourself, I guess, anyways?
Yeah, I've got an Audio Technica ATR 2100, I believe is the name. And, yeah. So that's what I use, and I know Ashley uses a Rode Podcaster. And yeah, so I'm based in Belgium and she's in Scotland, so we usually re-record over Skype, but each records our own ends, and then I just cut them together in GarageBand afterwards, and I do the editing for the show and try and edit out my ums and ahs. And I can make myself look a lot more, or sound a lot more professional than I really am. But
well, I won't be doing it here, so they'll hear the true Patty on this one.
Unedited.
Yeah. And do you do, how do you find, I guess that's what people sometimes refer to as a double end or whatever, but like, do you find does it take quite a while to edit and time line things up, or does it work out fairly well usually as far as the way each of your computers recording audio and matching up the tracks?
It's worked out pretty well, and we do 1, 2, 3 clap at the start of our recording, so you can see the little spike, so it's easy to add it to line it up at the start. And I find it's pretty, yeah, over the past 22 episodes now, I'm getting a lot faster at editing it. So that's also using GarageBand is, for me, it's a new skill I kind of had to look into and edit stuff together, and you just get better and better at stuff. But we have a short show, so it's not so intensive to edit it for us. We keep it, we've kept our show around the 30-minute mark usually, so about commute length. So one of our missions for the show was that it was a show to listen to kind of get you think and get you thinking, give you a little kind of boost of inspiration and then continue with your day and start. I mean, some podcasts are more of an escape, like it's something you listen to get away from your work and everything. But for us, it's more like a little bit of advice and, you know, thought provoking discussion. And then we want you to, you know, get back out there and start making something. So, the keeping it short under half an hour or so helps us cut out the waffle. So that's, we try to really keep it focused and to the point. So,
and do you record, like, are you, your discussion is 20 to 30 minutes as well, or are you editing out stuff and trying to condense it usually sometimes?
It's usually about 30 to 40 minutes, I think, we record. And it's really, I mean, at the start, I was very strict, and I wanted to cut out every little ums and ahs, and I wanted to really make it as clean as possible. I think at the start when we were talking, we would go off topic a bit. Not that that's bad, but we've become a lot more focused, and we're used to the process of hosting a podcast now, and we have good discussions with each other, and we don't have 10 minutes of waffle that in the middle of an episode anymore. So it's become, my job's become a lot easier actually editing it. But it's fine. We've got into the groove of it now, of recording a podcast, and that's once you build something like that into your weekly schedule, then it happens. Like, I wouldn't have thought before we were doing the podcast, I wouldn't have thought I don't have the time to record for 40 minutes and then edit it for an hour, or, you know, I couldn't imagine finding the time for that every week. But we built it in and stuck with it, and now it's part of our weekly routine, and it's fine, you know.
Yeah. And that was my next question, is you record weekly and publish weekly? Like, it's not like you record a bunch in advance or things like that, or any of that kind of stuff, or what's your routine?
We sometimes try to get ahead of ourselves, and we're both freelancers, and sometimes Ashley's away on photo shoots, and sometimes I'm away on traveling around Ireland or whatever I do. And so we try to sometimes get a couple of episodes in advance, kind of in the bank, and then we can release those so that we're not pressured. Like, and we tend to record whenever we're available, sometime in the week before we publish, so that we're not getting to the last minute and then we have to record and get it out there, because we've both got pretty full schedules. So so we try to keep as ahead of it as possible, so that kind of built, we have a reserve of episodes. But also we want the, it's not a time sensitive subject that we talk about. It's kind of timeless topics that, you know, we talk about things hopefully that will be relevant in 5 years time. And so it doesn't really matter that we have to, a weekly, it doesn't matter that we talked about it this week, or we could record something this week and publish it in 2 months time. It should still be hopefully relevant. So,
yeah, you're not doing news and whatever of the day or kind of stuff. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. We stay away from that sort of stuff, and kind of keep it on the, we always have it hanging over us, the idea of, I'm trying today to improve, get one step closer to my goal of doing what I love every day. So with that in mind, what are we going to talk about? And we come up with we both have a little file in Dropbox that we share that we just add in every, you know, topic ideas that we think about, and we just pop those in there every so often. And then we would decide, sometimes we pick something that Ashley has a lot of experience in and that I don't really, and sometimes it's the other way about, and sometimes that's kind of interesting as well. Whenever I don't have a lot of experience in whatever the topic may be, and I give my point of view from the outside, and sometimes it's a topic where we've both really frustrated us for a long time, or we try and mix it up and keep in mind not just having topics that that we are interested in, but topics that we think other people would be struggling with, like pricing, or you know, actually sticking with things and shipping a product. Because yeah, we talk a lot about, one thing that comes up a lot is the idea of actually building something and shipping it and getting it past the idea phase. So we all have these ideas of, yeah, I would love to build a business in my particular passion. I would love to open a coffee shop or something like that there. But it's one of these things that just stays in your head, and it's just always something you wanted to do, but you never actually take one step towards actually getting that. So a lot of the time we talk about, you know, actually doing something and try to, that's why we keep the show short, and we kind of encourage people to have a listen to the show and think, get your mind going on the particular topic, but get out there and actually do something towards your goal, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's definitely something. It's a show that I know it wasn't on my radar before you'd sent in a request, or I don't know, interview request. I don't know what the wording is that I should be using there. But anyways, the sort of submission form that I use for Show Me Your Mic. But it's definitely something that'll be, it's added to my queue, because it's right in my alley as far as what we're doing here. Good stuff, but also just my own personal business. And I think there's just that natural, I don't know if it's either you have it or you don't, but there's definitely people who have that sort of like idea, entrepreneurial kind of feeling of anything they come across that they kind of want to spin into some sort of business, rather than what's probably more normal or healthier would be just to like enjoy that hobby and leave.
Yeah,
that's probably actually a discussion you could, or maybe you have had already, I guess.
That's actually because one of Ashley's hobbies is photography, and she's really passionate about it, but she doesn't want that to be her full-time job, because she doesn't want to be doing the same thing every day and doing like going and shooting a wedding every day. And then also that it being 100% your full-time job, that comes with a lot of overheads and headaches of invoicing and, you know, getting out there finding new clients, and a lot of traveling and a lot of stuff which she doesn't like about it. So that is a really interesting discussion we've had many times about where she doesn't want to turn her passion into her full-time job. And that's something we've talked about, where she's kind of keeping a foot in both camps with the photography and insurance. And she doesn't want to push the photography to a certain point where it would become a job and it would not become such a passion anymore. So that's something we've talked about a lot as well. And it's a really interesting topic.
Yeah. And it's that there's a stream of argument or thought that says, you know, you can't have a side job because if you're not, and hoping it to grow or whatever, because if you don't devote it 100% to it, then it won't grow and all that kind of stuff. And then there's, like you're saying, sort of the other camp, I guess, of having the two. I mean, that's the life I'm living, is having my business that I run, web design and marketing and stuff for local businesses. But then also podcasting is a thing I do on the side as well. But I don't know, some days it's one is more of the side thing and the other one's the thing, and it kind of flips back and forth. And but yeah, that idea of, like, you know, doing web design for people is fun, and it was a hobby in the evenings and weekends that I would sort of do periodically. But then, yeah, you tack on all the invoicing and the client getting and stuff, and then all of a sudden isn't quite the, just, you know, fiddling around with CSS and HTML that you maybe got into for our podcast or whatever.
Yeah, and we're 100% realistic as well. I mean, we talk about, you know, the phrase doing what you love and a passion-based business. I mean, we're not under the illusion that you can go out there, wake up every morning and be, have a smile on your face all day and be doing what you love all, you know, every hour of the day, and being so happy that you'll never have any problems. I mean, that's not realistic. And any passion-based business, I mean, is going to come, I mean, anything you do, that's a real world out there, and you're going to have a lot of challenges and issues and problems are going to arise no matter what industry you're in and what your passion is. So, I mean, you're going to have to, it's something we've talked about is, I mean, no matter if you're going for, no matter if you're working for someone else and in a job that you hate, or if you're working for yourself and doing a doing what you love every day, each one of them is going to come with challenges and problems, and you can just so easily fail at either one. So why would you not go down the route of trying to do what you love every day?
Yeah, exactly. Well, before we turn this into a crossover show me your working out mic podcasts discussion, we'll save that discussion for you guys to have on your show. But it is something that's obviously just near and dear to my heart and thoughts as well. And so one of the things I ask everybody, and I forgot to maybe send this to you, but you can pull out your iPod or iPhone. Do people have iPods anymore? I don't even know. Anyways, podcasts that you actually listen to when you're not podcasting or designing, I guess, or whatever.
Let me see. Oh, you know what I'm addicted to at the moment is a podcast called Go Bayside. And it's a podcast where this comedian, April Richardson, gets a comedian friend of hers over, and they watch an episode of Saved by the Bell. And then they then they critically analyze like every scene and every action and how unbelievable it is. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. And they get a different comedian over every week, and it's they have some fantastic discussions about Saved by the Bell and how ridiculous it is.
That is hilarious.
Go Bayside. You should check that out. It's hilarious.
So I don't mean to. This maybe sounds more ignorant than I'm not trying to imply that like that you wouldn't have had Saved by the Bell in Ireland when you're growing up or whatever. But it was popular over there as well, I assume, right?
Oh yeah, I think everybody has seen Saved by the Bell. Yeah. So we had. I guess it's around my age group. One thing they talk about on that show is there seems to be like a sweet spot of people who were just the right age when Saved by the Bell was on, that you watched it, not ironically, and you actually enjoyed the show. But now when you go back and look at it, you see how ridiculous it was. But it's really funny show. You should check it out if you watched Saved by the Bell back in the day.
Yeah.
What else do I listen to? I listen to The Talk Show, and 99% Invisible is another one I would constantly listen to. Let me see, what else do I listen to? I found one recently called You Are Not So Smart, which is quite interesting. It explores like topics, like really obscure topics about how the brain works, and it interviews kind of, you know, scientists about the research into various things like, let me look at a couple of episodes. They talk about extinction burst, and there was a good one on practice, like, you know, the 10,000 hours rule and things like that, and talking about how that came about. And it was a study of violinists, and it's not really relevant to, and the study itself was flawed, and all sorts of stuff that's really, that's really interesting. I've found that one recently.
Yeah, that's I think one of the great medium or reasons why podcasting is such a great medium is it allows for some of those like sort of niche, researchy, little bit geeky, nerdy, scientific kind of shows to or discussions to happen, I guess, in a way that previously wouldn't have been necessarily funded or whatever by big broadcasters and stuff like that. So there's no minimum list.
The one I used to listen to was You Look Nice Today, which is sadly not around any longer. But that's about it. I mean, I find, now that I work for myself and at home and I don't have a commute anymore, I find it so difficult to find the time to listen to podcasts now, which is something when I used to travel like half an hour every day to work and then half an hour back, I used to go through so many podcasts, but now I kind of have to force myself to find time to listen to them, or that's one of the annoying things about freelance life. That's something we talked about in the show as well. Is one week we talked about, you know, taking breaks and forcing yourself to make time for other stuff that isn't work and not feeling guilty about taking breaks. And Ashley talked about playing video games how I talked about playing video games and how that I feel a little bit guilty and how there's always more work I could be doing and things like that. So that's But finding time for listening to podcasts is, that's why I like traveling so much, is I get to catch up on weeks and weeks of podcasts.
So you don't do, like when you're designing or working on some client work, it's not something you can have on the background as much?
No, I can't. That distracts me too much. I mean, I listen to music 100% of the time when I'm working.
Yeah.
And I get my headphones on, and I definitely need to have music, but listening to, I would get too distracted, or I would find myself getting so into my work that I would have missed an hour of what they were talking about. So no, I can't work and listen to podcasts at the same time. It's not one of my talents, I'm afraid.
Well, your other, the work that you're doing is top notch. So I guess it's definitely not suffering because you're not listening to podcasts, I would say. So,
oh, thank you.
I noticed, sorry, just when I was looking at your portfolio, just a funny little coincidence or whatever, that you had done the artwork for the East Wing way back when, I guess, for Tim Smith. It moved to 5x5. Now he's apparently bringing it back. We haven't, I don't have any inside baseball tips here or whatever, but he's bringing it back. Anyways, he's got your artwork back on there. So
yeah, apparently so. I saw it. I did that a while ago. I'm not sure when did that, when did the East Wing start up?
I don't know.
A few years ago now.
Yeah,
I did the original artwork for it. But I saw it pop up on the Good Stuff website there recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's good. They're bringing it back.
Yeah. So, the last I forgot to mention, or ask, the apps that you listen to podcasts with, what are you using these days for your podcast?
I just use the Apple Podcasts app. I think I've tried, it's Overcast, isn't it? Wasn't that one?
Marco Arment's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried that. But for me, the podcast app was enough, you know. It's because I think if I did have a commute or if I traveled a lot more, I would be able to listen to a lot more podcasts and I would really research in. I mean, I've seen people tweet about all these wonderful podcasting, podcasting apps to listen to podcasts. And I haven't really gone into and really explored them. For me, the podcasts app is fine. What about you? What do you listen to? Or do you just spend your time just podcasting and just putting it out there?
Well, I definitely don't listen to as much these days like you. It's I don't have the commute, and even when I do have the commute, it's in the city I live anyways, where it's usually driving, and so it's just kind of like a hassle to get set up or whatever. I used to take the bus to work and stuff, and then it was great. I'd listen to podcasts for half an hour. These days I'm using Pocket Cast, I think it's called.
I've heard of that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which it's just nice. It looks nice. It's I was using Overcast. I had an iPhone 4. This is boring news to anybody who listens to any of my other shows, but I had an iPhone 4, finally upgraded to an iPhone 6 just a couple months ago. But with an iPhone 4, Marco Arment had made Overcast free, like all the features free on it, because he wasn't going to support iPhone 4 or iOS 7, I guess, once 8 was released. And so I was using it, but then I'd already paid for Pocket Cast, and so I'm cheap, and so I thought I might as well just keep using the one I already have. And it's nice. It looks nice. The show, like I appreciate, I guess, a podcast player that shows the artwork really nice and does a decent job with show notes and things like that, just because, you know, as you know, you put time into that stuff, and if the podcast player kind of disregards it or doesn't do a decent job of showing that, it's kind of a little bit frustrating. And so, but yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think where Apple's headed with the podcast app is great, because as far as having it synced between iTunes and your iOS devices of choice, that's kind of nice, and makes it simpler for the average user to get into podcasting listening is awesome in my book. So
yeah, it's still a thing that's just, it seems to be still, I mean, there's always more and more non-geeky people getting into podcasting, but it's still not something that my mum has gotten into. But I think, you know, she would really enjoy podcasting, but it's just not got quite there. I don't think that it's that everybody, you know, listens to podcasts. Like nobody, like it's not out there enough that everybody knows that, yeah, no matter what you're into, there's a podcast about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the metric I use too. And not, I know there's sort of the stereotypical use of the mom or dad person in people's lives, but legitimately for me, it's like if my dad or mom came to me and said, I just came across this podcast, you should listen to it. That would be my cue that podcasting has gotten over that hump, because they have literally no interest in finding it and figuring all that stuff out. They listen to talk radio. So they're not, it's not that they're against the medium or that the style of discussion, but yeah, to the idea of going and finding something intentionally to listen to beyond just whatever happens to be on local talk radio that morning just isn't there for them. And so that's why, yeah, for me, that would be the like aha moment of, okay, we're there's going to be a whole bunch of new listeners now. Cause if my mom has discovered or figured out how to listen to a podcast, of course, now this will be the one episode she happens to stumble on and listen to and get mad at me for using her, throwing her under the bus on. But anyways, in wrapping up, where can folks find you? And obviously workingoutpodcast.com is where they should go to listen to the show, but what else, where else should they find you on the webs?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Paddy Donnelly, and you can follow Ashley at I Am Ashley. And the Twitter account for Working Out is Working Out Show. And yeah, you can find everything, all the episodes on workingoutpodcast.com. So
yeah. And I had just a follow up or one last question. I'd posted, I think it was maybe a couple months ago, about the idea of should a podcast have a Twitter account on its own? Because obviously, you know, like in your case, you and Ashley both have larger followings already. Why not just post it from your main account? And you probably do as well. But have you, what was the benefit or reason behind, not that there has to be any great thought, and this isn't like a loaded question, but behind having a Twitter account dedicated to the podcast itself?
Yeah, I think there are definitely people out there who would be just kind of interested in the podcast and not particularly interested in our other stuff that we do. But that's actually on one of the most recent episodes, we talked about the importance of a personal brand and the idea of, yeah, should you have like a business Facebook and Twitter account and a personal one? And should there, I think, what we talked about is, yeah, absolutely. You can have, you know, separate business accounts and personal accounts because, yeah, some people will only be interested in the particular topic and not interested in everything you put out there. But one of the most important points of that episode we talked about was that those two different accounts, there has to be consistency there. There has to be the same, because it's really, it's not like you're all very businessy on the official podcast account, and then on your personal one, you're a completely different person, and there's no continuity there, and then people won't trust your brand. So like Ashley talks about with her Insurance by Jack business, I mean, it's that Facebook account and Twitter account, that's all about the business, but she's not a drastically different person when it comes to her own Twitter account. So it's an important thing when we talked about personal branding, that the Ashley over there on the business side is still the same Ashley as on her personal one. So it's not because if people see, you know, oh, you're just putting on a face on this other Twitter account or Facebook account, then it's then you can't trust any of it, you know. But the internet's very, this is the world we live in now, where everybody can see all, you know, what you're doing on Twitter and see all your Instagram photos. And so it's that was something we talked about on the show, is we have an official account for people who are just interested in following the show, and we post, you know, show specific stuff over there. So
yeah,
it's an interesting topic as well. I mean, you guys must have just tons of Twitter accounts, and there must be a lot of crossover of a lot of cross posting and all of that stuff. How have you guys kind of dealt with that?
I mean, in addition to maybe your show on Good Stuff, we also have the actual, you know, proper Good Stuff _FM Twitter account, just to promote that as well. But and then, you know, personal account, and then each show might have a Twitter account, and that's a debate that we've had. And I decided sort of halfway through or three quarters or whatever later on in life anyways, and Show Me Your Mic, to add a Twitter account just to experiment with it. And I need to get a different name, because it definitely doesn't roll off the tongue of SMYM_FM. It made sense when I was typing it out. It's like, oh yeah, just short for Show Me Your Mic and FM. But anyways, I'll need some rebranding there. But it's helpful, I think, like you said, to not just tweet out the links to the show notes or the latest episode, which is, you know, important, obviously, is why someone would follow it. But also, I try to think of it like if I was following a show, I follow, I think it's Ethan Marcotte runs it, but he's Beep on Twitter, and RWD, Responsive Web Design, is the Twitter account he set up just to tweet out top things that are more topical about responsive web design. Mm. And so I think of it like that. Like, I'll occasionally tweet out links to podcast-related things, but not like every single podcasting thing, because obviously that would just, the Twitter account could just be going nonstop with, like, yeah, you know, stuff that's podcasting-related. But again, something that I would find interesting about podcasting, hopefully, is why people would tune into this show and therefore might also follow that Twitter account. And so that's kind of my, I guess, metric for when I would post something. I don't do it a lot and probably could do more of it if I was really interested in growing some sort of community around that or podcasting community. But yeah, that's another discussion maybe for another time too of that whole idea. So but yeah, I think it's definitely helped me see that I was really against it actually until I sort of ran this unofficial poll and then kind of got a lot of feedback saying it's good to have it because it is just extra work. It's one more thing to do.
Yeah.
And we do have a lot of moving parts already here at Good Stuff. And so if you set it up, then you kind of have to follow through with it. And that was my worry, that I would kind of just let it die on the vine and not really remember that I was doing it or anything like that. So, but yeah, so you can follow
one thing. One thing I had a question for you, if that's all right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how do you feel? Like, I have one podcast that I do every week, and it's a 50-50 split on the work that goes into it. And I find that is like a ton of work to make like a half hour show every week, and that, you know, put in the time and researching a topic and making notes and then recording it and actually, you know, editing it and actually putting it out there. I find that it's so much work that goes into that, but I can't imagine doing like more than one. So how is it that you manage to do, I mean, you have a ton of shows, right? That you're hosting and guests on and all sorts of stuff. I mean, how do you manage all of that?
Well, the trick, I guess, is to stack it in your favor. So with this show, for example, I mean, 50 episodes in, now this is episode 53, I'm way more comfortable, like you said, with your show too. Like, you just get more comfortable with the routine, where like the first 10 episodes at least of this show, I would meticulously research and listen to like at least 5 episodes of the person's show. And, you know, because it wasn't always, eventually I ran out of people that I was, you know, more intimately familiar with, as mm-hmm. you know, like that's how I stumbled on your stuff, your show. And so, whereas now I kind of just more enjoy the discussion with folks about podcasting. And by stacking the deck in my favor, I mean, I'm inviting podcasters on who generally, you know, have no trouble talking and aren't going to be
yeah.
too worried about, you know, having things to say about their show, or they're, you know, they're into promoting it anyways and all that kind of stuff. And so it's never a shortage of, well, like, we're already at an hour here, and so there's never a shortage of things to talk about, it would seem. And so getting more comfortable with the idea of just talking with someone, a stranger, about a topic that you mutually share an interest in has mm-hmm. gotten easier. And then the other shows are there's a show, like I said, the Intellectual Radio Program, which is kind of just me and two other guys just chat about our week and stuff. And it's a very lo-fi, even less prepared than, very little preparation in general. And so, which probably has its flaws at times too, in terms of what we do. But, and so that one's a fairly easy show to do. And then, you know, a bit of editing, but again, it's very lo-fi. What you hear is what you get kind of idea with that show. And then, I do a Dailyish show, which is more just a 10-minute quick rant journal, audio journal kind of idea. And I started off as just a personal hobby, a way to sort of work my podcasting muscles, as it were. And wasn't really didn't have any huge goal in mind of getting any amount of listenership. I wasn't even going to put it on Good Stuff, but just as a way to practice, you know, doing this podcasting thing. And so again, there, it's, I guess I've probably spread myself too thin. Oh, there's also Never Dig Down, which is a Minecraft podcast. That's the other one.
Yeah, I've listened to that one.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I'm not a huge Minecrafter or anything, but I've listened to all your shows before, but I quite liked the Minecraft one. I was, For a time, I was obsessed with it on the iPad and spend hours in there. So.
Yeah, and so that's where, like, it's that one. I have Tim Murtaugh, who is my co-host, and he does a lot more of the prep research, and I sort of host, guide the discussion, and then do a bit of the editing afterwards as well. And so there is, like, there's no doubt there's a lot of hours in there that's work. But, you know, if you just have one show, you might pour more. I guess it could be argued that I should just focus on one show, pour more effort into that one show, making it really good, and rather than spreading myself a bit thinner and doing all these other shows. But I just enjoy talking about different stuff, and hopefully mm-hmm. folks are keen enough on the particular topic that they'll want to tune in and forgive a few little whatever audio hiccups or things that go along the way with just trying to get stuff, because I don't spend hours editing in post-production on any of the shows. And so that's the way I sort of, I guess, managed to survive that. Mm-hmm. So,
but it is an interesting, like we talked, like what I mentioned about Ashley and her photography. It's, you know, where do you draw that line of when something is a hobby? Like, are you doing it just because you enjoy podcasting? But then at a certain point, it'll turn into work. And that's what we kind of talk about on the show, is how do you kind of find that sweet spot and keep it, keep your passion based business, you know, keep the passion in it and stuff. So it's just kind of interesting to, I just know myself from doing one show, how much work goes into it that I just can't imagine doing so many shows. And unless that's your, you know, main job, but you mentioned you do, you know, web design and stuff as well. So yeah, I can't imagine.
With Good Stuff, we are trying to definitely grow it into something bigger than just a hobby where we just kind of record shows every day. That's why we seek out sponsors and things like that. But it is, and having two other, like Adam Clark and Tim Smith, are co-founders of it. And so having two other folks involved is most of the time is better. It makes it easier because there's some people to carry the weight. Obviously sometimes there's like any other business, podcasting's no different, where sometimes there's things you would just charge ahead with and do, but you need to, in my case and or Tim's case or whoever, you need to, you know, make sure we're all on board with the thing or whatever. And so there's a bit of that tension sometimes, but in general, it's awesome to have other folks who are carrying that weight with you. And so, it's tough to go some days, some weeks or whatever, especially when the client work is great and that's what pays the bills most of the time. And so it's, you need to focus on that, or I need to focus on that anyways. And it's tough when they both kind of collide with a busy week podcasting because of scheduled stuff and then a busy week of client work and stuff like that. So
yeah, for sure.
Learning to say no sometimes probably would be healthy.
So, yeah, definitely.
and definitely do it all before you have kids. I that was my mistake. I waited too long. So anyways, that's great. I appreciate you asking the questions or asking those questions as well, because I know it's, I'm sure, common sort of thoughts or thread. Anytime you listen to any of these kind of folks, it's kind of like, this is great that you listen, you're talking on this 1 hour, but then how do you manage to do all this other stuff as well, or what's going on? And maybe the appearance of like I was saying, you know, internet success or internet popularity or whatever, implying that you have it all together necessarily is not necessarily the case. And hopefully the jumbled words that I sometimes tweet out or whatever show you that my mind isn't always there, because my kids keep me up all night or whatever. So my thanks, Patty, for joining me for this episode of Show Me Your Mic. You can.
It was a pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, I'm glad it worked out timing wise. It's kind of a good. I'm just starting my day. You're just finishing your day, so it's kind of we're both either I'm keyed up, ready to go, and you're kind of relaxed and maybe having a pint or whatever soon. But you can find this episode of Show Me Your Mic at goodstuff.fm/smym/53. Like I mentioned before, goodstuff_FM is the Twitter account for the Good Stuff Network. I'm iChris on Twitter. And like I said, the rebranding of the Show Me Your Mic Twitter account may happen soon, but smym_FM. If you have any questions about podcasting or suggestions of future guests, chris@goodstuff.fm is my email account. There, I'll put a link. It doesn't roll off my tongue and I can't remember it right now, but I, like I mentioned with Patty, there's I have a link to a service called Appointlet that I'm using for booking podcast guests on this show. It really, speaking of helping me manage all this stuff, that's been a lifesaver. And so I spend not nearly as much time trying to schedule and stuff like that. I don't know what your experience was with it, Patty. You were one of the first ones that when I put out the call kind of thing and went through that.
Yeah, I saw you. I think you might have tweeted something about there should be like a conference for podcasters or some sort of discussion or something. And I just so happened to see that. And then I replied to you on it. But yeah, that'd be a great idea. After podcasting for a while now, I wanted to actually talk about the act of podcasting. So, but yeah, the form that you used, you just filled in and kind of you picked a date and yeah, I got nice little reminders and stuff. And what was especially nice was that it told me what time it was going to be in my time zone, which is always something really struggle with clients all over the world. The time zones are just a nightmare. And so that was really handy. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, actually, and goodstuff.appointlet.com. I'll put it in the show notes as well. But if you're a podcaster who wants, just like Patty, you said, you know, you want to come on and talk about podcasting, there's no like barrier. All I sort of imply or ask, I guess, is that you're, you know, at least have 5 episodes in or something. So just some like to show that you're not just thinking about a podcast, but you're actually doing a podcast. You've shipped it, as Patty was saying. Fill out that form. A big shout out to them because at appointlet.com, because they've generously allowed me to beta test and or continuing to sort of beta test and give them feedback in lieu of the fact that they do actually ask for money for this service. And so if you're at all interested in something like that, it's generally a little more geared for service work or where you're setting up appointments for client work and things like that. Like Patty was saying, you could use it for that or IT support kind of stuff, those kinds of things. That's where it works well is more for that than what I'm using it for explicitly, although they're revamping the service a bit to incorporate some of this kind of stuff. If you check out appointlet.com and mention you heard about it on Show Me Your Mic, they'd really appreciate that, I know. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening for this a little bit longer episode. I'll be back again next week with a guest who I should have written down, but I don't have it in front of me. But it's booked thanks to Appointlet. And we'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.